Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
As you continue your 2025 episode streak.
Oh, am I on it? Have I been on every one?
Nah, you didn't do category with me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But all the regular ones. And Aaliyah.
That doesn't count because that was...
Authors.
I was gonna say, that one doesn't count because that was all author guests.
Right. So you guys are like on your streak. And then joining us, I believe, for the first time in 2025?
Yeah.
Heather.
This episode, yeah.
Yay. Hi, Heather.
Hi, I'm here.
Because, well, you were here with us Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you're here tonight. Look at that.
No hockey. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Don't even know what to do. Okay, so it has been a week. Last week, there was a lot. I know everybody was deep in their feels or deep in their avoidance. I have to say a couple things, and then we'll get to what this episode's about. First up, this is my public service announcement. For our listeners who are readers, if you did not know, Passionflix is a streaming service that buys a lot of indie author TV and film rights and either creates movies or series based on those books and series. And you're thinking, oh my God, yes, yes, I want to sign up for this. And I am here to ask you, please don't. So Passionflix is owned by Tosca Musk, who is the sister of Elon Musk. And she has been defending him all week on social media for his actions at the inauguration, which no matter which side of the aisle you are on, you have to agree that that hand gesture was inappropriate.
On all levels.
On all levels. Yes. There is no excuse for it. So...
every single level.
But one of the things that, so I've shared a couple things over on Threads. If you don't follow Buzzing About Romance on Threads or on Blue Skies, you should go over there and do that because I've shared a couple things about this situation. And one of the things that has repeatedly come up is, oh, I get Passionflix, but I didn't know it was owned by her. It is solely owned by her. The money coming from it is from her family money. And also, the movies are bad.
They're not great.
It's like B list, not like D list bad.
Yeah. Well,
like not even B list. Like,
and I know it's
not even on purpose.
It's not. And I know people are bummed because J.R. Ward's Black Dagger Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Is supposed to be in a series over there coming later this summer, earlier this fall. And it's unfortunate. But anyway, money speaks louder than words sometimes. So cancel that subscription or don't get it. Okay. Enough of that. That's all I had to talk about for this week because the rest of it, I can't.
Need to bring us down at the beginning of an episode.
It's okay.
The only way to go is up now.
Now we're only just going to go up, right?
This is true.
Actually, tonight, I think we're talking about one of the hardest tropes. It's one that puts you deep in your feels, this trope.
Yes.
I love this trope, but it's very, very difficult for authors to get right. In my opinion.
Yes.
I'm sure that other people think that authors get it right all the time, but I do not agree with that.
No, I don't think
we would agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not counting you guys in that.
To answer Bonnie's questions, yes, this is who is producing the Willows Winters books to movies. Yes. Anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow night at Silent Book Club because I'll share all my thoughts there for the Patreon members. Okay. Welcome to this episode of Buzzing About Romance. Today, we're diving into Second Chance Romance with a Twist, the series where love gets a second shot for couples who have already walked down the aisle. Whether it's a marriage in crisis or a couple finding their way back together after divorce, but also what about those ones that the annulment didn't ever happen? These stories are packed with emotion, tension, and the ultimate promise of redemption and renewal. We'll explore what makes these romances so compelling, from the raw emotional stakes to the triumph of overcoming past pain. Get ready for heartfelt moments, deep character growth, and plenty of books recommendations that will tug at your heartstrings. So let's talk about Second Chance Romance with a twist. Okay, so we are going to define what is Second Chance Romance, what we consider marriage in crisis, and then the still married one. Because I think there's some key components to each of them that it's a good reminder for us to kind of go through. So Second Chance itself is a subgenre of romance fiction. Second Chance is not just a trope. I think it classifies itself as a whole subgenre.
I think so too, because there's so many options for Second Chance.
Yeah, I think Second Chance is broad. So, like, it could be the married couple that divorces or thinks they divorce, or it's people who've had a relationship, broke up, and then, like, they have a second chance at love again.
So this trope often emphasizes the themes of redemption, growth, forgiveness, and the enduring power of love. Also, this is not a trope that you can give us vibes. Mm-mm. Vibes do not work in this trope, in my opinion. We got to have stakes.
People try, though.
They try and they get it wrong. Second Chance Romance can also deal with, it can also be like childhood, not the right time, or wrong sibling, wrong time kind of situation. I mean, there's so many breakdowns into Second Chance. Yeah. In this episode, we are focusing, one of the Second Chance we're focusing on is Second Chance. They were previously married and divorced.
Or not.
Well, we'll get to that
divorced.
One.
Divorced.
So they're divorced and coming, something has brought them back together. So that's the first Second Chance that we're covering. Second Chance that we're also covering, the second chance we're covering, is the marriage in crisis. And this is the romance trope is a deeply emotional story where the central conflict resolves around a married couple whose relationship is on the brink of collapse. The story focuses on their journey to either salvage their marriage or come to terms with the potential end. But we know this is romance, so they have to come together with an HEA in marriage in crisis. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is still married? Because I had a couple DMs today, because I asked a question on Threads, and I had a couple DMs today about, what do I mean, still married? And I know that I've read many more of these than I could think of today.
Honestly, like, I was going through them, like, books today to finalize my list, and I found a bunch more. But it's basically when they get divorced and it either doesn't get filed or they are separated. Like, a couple of mine on my list, like, the wife, like, disappears and they don't end up ever getting divorced, but, like, he never files for a divorce. So those are my, like, how I went with both of those different
scenarios. I think about Sweet Home Alabama, the movie, right?
Right.
Where she has kept sending him divorce papers, and it's sort of, like, almost like it's forgotten about. And then when she, like, they're put up against it, and she's like, dude, sign these. I, like, need to move on with my life.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And slams the door in her face.
So still married refers to the subgenre of Second Chance, where central conflicts resolved around a couple who believe they're divorced or separated, only discover they are still married. The revelation forces the characters to confront unresolved feelings, past misunderstandings, or hidden truths, creating opportunity for the rekindling of love. So let's talk about all of these Second Chances. And the first question is, why do readers love these? What is it about these three Second Chances that keeps you going back? Because again, like Amanda said, it has to be done right.
So I think it's that love against all odds. It's like you're giving an extra emphasis on overcoming something for your love.
Yeah, love conquers all. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Heather?
I don't like them.
Oh, well.
I am sorry. There are just some of them are
She
like you said,
says
though.
this, but one of the authors that you read constantly does
Yeah, you write
them.
mostly second chance.
I know. So that's so fun. I think you have to do it like you said, that we have to do it
Yeah.
right. And there has to be like a really good reason. I am not a fan of the miscommunication trope, which I know Becky loses her marbles. It seems so immature to me. Like, just have a conversation like
But what
adults.
happens when they got married at 18 and 21 and they were like, okay, you know what? This is not working. We cannot be together. This isn't healthy. And so, therefore, they end up getting divorced. Or,
I'm coming in hot.
like, one of my, yeah, Heather is coming in hot. Like, she brought all the buckets of crazy tonight.
Did.
'Cause I think about, like, okay, so my favorite second chance romance is Paradise by Judith McNaught. It was written in 1991.
I'm just gonna say this. I feel like you have said that book on every single
Oh yeah,
episode that
this
we have
year.
had this
Yeah.
year. I have. I have.
The Year of Paradise.
It's the year of
How could
paradise.
Becky slip that into an episode?
That should put you on a bingo card.
On a
Somebody
bingo
has a
card.
25 bingo card.
Okay,
How
you may
often?
continue. I'm sorry, I
So
just had to say that.
paradise. So the story starts out, their teen, or he's 22, she's 19. They are, it's, he's in town for a short period of time. They hook up. He's very blue collar from small town Indiana. He's going to go work on one of the oil rigs for a family that is friends with her father. And her family owns the big Chicago department store like Marshall Fields. And so she's a wealthy trust fund baby. He's from the wrong side of the tracks. They have one night together. She finds out she's pregnant. She goes to his small town and they try to work it out. In the meantime, he has to go work for the oil rig because that's how he's planning on making his money and getting, creating his start of life. They get married. She goes back to Chicago to live with her father, she ends up miscarrying, and her father arranges for her divorce. Fast forward 7 years, and she's gonna get remarried. But then it comes out that there's this scandal that this lawyer from like the east side of Chicago was actually not really a lawyer and he never filed paperwork. And it comes out that she and this guy are not divorced. Well, in the meantime, he's gone on to become a millionaire, a multimillionaire, the wealthiest of wealth. And she has to ask him for a divorce, but he demands 2 months of her time before he'll grant the divorce. But the miscommunication works there because they were young and the family steps in and tries to manipulate things both ways.
I think my bigger problem comes with, if we're getting to all three, it's the marriage in crisis. It's the ones where they're actually married and they're having the problems while they're together. Like I am much easier time with like the second chance after they've already been divorced, or this second chance after they're still married and they don't know it, but they've separated for a period of time. I have a harder time with the marriage in crisis where they're going through it. I mean, there are several that I like. I mean, of course, like Marie Johnston does one of my favorite ones, but or two of my favorite ones. So she's really good at it. But like I generally don't love that while they're like it's just that angst, like while they're, married in the same house together and possibly have kids in that situation. That's where it gets hard for me.
So in Marriage in Crisis, we've all read some that are really, really good, but then there are others that aren't as good, that fall flat. And why did those fall flat for you?
Because there's no like real resolution to why they were in crisis in the first place. Like I read one, I'm not gonna name names on this one, but he was obsessed with like doing more, making money, And he forgot about her essentially. Like there, just every little thing like fell to the wayside because it wasn't important as like making sure she had the life that he thought that she should live. And by the end of the book, like I got that their relationship was better, but I didn't feel like his work ethic was any different. Like they did talk things out, but I still did not see that relationship really getting better. And so it's like,
Something makes me feel like this might be the trad wife cheating book.
no, it's not that
Okay,
one.
because it
Actually, I
sounds
think
a
his
lot like a trad wife
actions
cheating.
speak louder than words. So if the author tells you that this person's changed versus showing you that the character changed, is that's what can make or break it.
Well, don't you think it comes down to character growth in all three of these? Like the author really has to spend a lot of time showing us the character's growth. I look at Steel by Sawyer Bennett. Like he was so focused that he just thought he had to be the hockey player, come home, provide for his wife, be the nice guy at home, but she handled everything and she didn't really have any needs. And that's a similar theme in the Bromance Book Club by Lissa K. Adams. You know, they thought the sport was enough, so and the money they brought in was enough that the spark had died. Nobody had, because as we all know in relationships, if you don't nurture it, you don't feed it, it is going to fizzle out. But I think in that book, like it's a great example of showing he had to figure out what was wrong. Why did she want the divorce? And then he had to do the work.
Yeah,
Well,
in
and I
under
think,
300 pages. And it was completely believable.
yeah, those both were. But I think it depends on what was the breaking point anyway, 'cause so Allison Rhimes, like she often writes cheating in her books, like in her Broken Playbook, like she walks in on him cheating. And the whole basis of like, and she asks for a divorce right away. They start through therapy and all those things. And but by the end of the book, like I'm not 100% sure if I believe that like he truly is going to change. I feel like he's in the start of it. But I needed like another year or two down the road where they're still working on like their relationship and they're still together and he's still faithful. Like I was satisfied in the sense where like I could definitely see that he was making an effort to change him, but I don't think that I still am not sure if it would last.
I'm going to say something shocking. These are the books that need epilogues and more than one. These are not books that can just end and feel HFN. Because then, how do we know? And this is part of my gripe when it comes to vibes and no stakes. How do we know that if there isn't another bump or hurdle in the road, that that's not going to be the one that tears them apart? And so that's why you actually, I do think in these books, an epilogue is beneficial to show us, you know, 2, 5, 10 years down the road.
Yeah, or have it be part of a series where you're going to see them in later books.
Well, and the one I'm talking about is a series, and I haven't read the later books because I didn't love the way she wrote it, so it's like not invested in the series. So maybe like by book three of that, like I would feel differently, but.
Do you
Yeah,
think,
that.
go ahead, Heather.
No, I agree that it needs to be more than like 2 weeks down the road, right? Like it needs to be, you need to know further down, like you didn't go back, they, you know, didn't go back to their old ways.
Do you think in these books, the fact that they have the established relationship, that it's absolutely some of those books that we don't need 400 and 500 pages of? I mean, not that we ever need a book with 500 pages, but as a second chance, some of the groundwork is already there. So these should read faster or be shorter in page numbers.
Well, but if I'm not saying it should be a 400 page book, but like sometimes the way in which the relationship needs to be sussed out and like come back together, like in the reasoning, like for the length, definitely works. But sometimes it's too much at the same time. 'Cause so Victoria Page, she does like chaos a lot, but like her wife assignment book, like they are basically on the outs, like when the book opens, like he. But he's been having like a lot of PTSD issues and like there's no communication and things like that. And I think that book is like 375 or something like that. But I think if that book had been shorter, it wouldn't have worked with the way that the story played out.
Yeah, and I think it depends because I have Birthright by Nora Roberts on my list, but there's a lot of other things going on. Like there's a suspense element. She's also finds out she was like sold as a child to an adoption agency, and so there's two other whole like plot points going on there. But I think if you're only doing the relationship, yeah, I mean I don't have much use for over 300 pages at that point.
So, I think in a lot of these books, and somebody said it's the angstier side of Second Chance. It was Stacy's angstier side of Second Chance. Yes. But don't you think that these books, and I agree with that, what Stacy said, but don't you think that the emotional conflict, the emotional entanglement in it is what creates that tension? So, I don't know that a Still Married has the same tension as Second Chance After Divorce.
Think it depends on the circumstances on the separation and why they're still married. Because I have a couple where, like I said, like either the wife or the husband left, they couldn't find them to either send divorce papers or try and like come back together. And then when they came back together, like the leaving itself was like the big issue, and like why did they come back? And like one of them, it's a Jessica Prince. It's the second time around.
Yeah, I have that one on my list too.
Like he leaves, but does not divorce her. It's been like 10 years. Like they have been with other people, but like knowingly, like not being divorced, and never thought they would see each other because she honestly, I think she sent divorce papers or tried to send divorce papers.
But she didn't know. I don't think she knew where he was.
No. And so it's like, but then they happen to meet again, like
Like on the sidewalk in his
on
town.
a random sidewalk in the small town. And so it's like they're coming back together was like shocking for them. And so I like, so that one, like it's the circumstances of the coming back together, not like the still mayor, like there was, it was like accidentally came back together instead of purposely. You know what I mean? I feel like I went a little left in my
I was
explanation,
gonna say,
but
I forgot what we were talking about.
It's okay.
I hope I made sense.
Do you think there's degrees of betrayal that
Yes.
happens that you can forgive in these type of second chances? Or is it like all betrayal is the same? Or is there
No,
degrees?
I feel like there's levels.
Yeah, I mean I won't read a cheating book if they're married. Like
And
I won't
clearly
do
I
it. Like
will read anything at this point.
so I have that's my line. Like I've read one like trilogy that was, I mean, and they weren't even married. So yeah, I've never actually read one like cheating where they were married. No, I can't say that I ever would. I mean, who's maybe, who knows? I might rage read one day, but
That's how I read my first one. I rage read it and I was like, this really is not that bad. I will go back for more.
no. Yeah, I rage read like an engaged one and I'm still mad about it. So I don't think that's ever going to
Probably
change for
wouldn't be able to
me.
handle it.
No.
I follow Leah. Why are they still married matters.
Thank you, because I lost track of my own
That
thoughts
was from
halfway through that.
Jenny.
So I
But
know I
Jenny
read that.
speaks us. You know what I mean?
Jenny
Yeah.
does
Thank God
speak our
Jenny's in the
language.
chat and she can help us out. Yeah. She can.
Jenny can translate for us.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Don't you think that in these books there is power with the idea of hope and redemption, and that, you know, even if you made mistakes, that you can be forgiven? Maybe you were a workaholic. Maybe you did leave and didn't tell them where you were going, but you had to fix you first before you could come back.
I think so. I have never been a huge fan. And then I went and read Devney Perry for the first time in 2024. I know, blow everyone away. But the Clover Chapel is that. So they were married in Vegas. They have one night and then they separate for like years. And then she just randomly shows up in his town. And he's like, I kind of got my poop in a group. I really want to prove to you that I like.
Repeat that.
She got her poops in a group.
Poop in a group. It's like getting your shit together.
No, but
okay.
Sorry.
It's the teacher way to say it, you guys.
No, I'm kidding.
No,
it's the PG.
So, and he kind of is like, you have to like give me a chance. Like, I want to prove to you that I am the man that.
So
you...
she does that one right, but then there's that fucking Garnet Falls.
But he's married to somebody else.
Yes, he's married to somebody else.
I haven't read Garnet Flats yet. So
don't do it.
You don't want to.
You will pitch the book across the room. Like, you will set shit on fire.
It is one of the things we hate about Second Chance.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I won't read it.
Don't read it.
He's married to somebody else in that one, not her.
But it's Second Chance, though, right? Were they married previously?
They
got
were going
divorced?
To get married, but then he married the friend, but then he doesn't sleep with her, but sleeps beside her for seven
fucking
years while raising
years.
Her child, who isn't
and pretending
his.
Like it's his. Yeah.
It's like that one Natasha Madison, too. Book one in the Southern series.
Oh, yeah.
The Southern series. What one?
The first
book
two.
Book one in the Southern series. So they are together, and then... The mean girl, Natasha Madison.
Oh, yes.
The mean girl who like says she's pregnant and claims it's his, but it's not really his, and he doesn't like. And so the girlfriend like leaves because she's devastated. And did they get married? Right.
Yes.
I
can't remember.
And then divorced.
They get married, and they're divorced, and she comes home, and then it all comes out. Yeah. Like it just makes me a little angry.
Yeah, we don't care for those.
Yeah, I don't like the Southern series. That's why I didn't read
it. I mean, we don't care for that style of book where there's that like, you know, that whole situation.
Well, it's just stupid. That's
and
why.
This is one of the things that bugs Leah, and we've talked about this, especially with one of our November book club book. They were married. No, they were just dating.
It doesn't matter if
separated,
they're married or dating.
But in that time that they're apart, she pines for him.
Oh.
And sleeps with no one.
And then he is out horndogging it up.
Like, why can't she horndog it up too? Or why can't he be the celibate piner and she be the hoe?
Right. I mean, every woman deserves a hoe era.
Phase. Yeah.
I mean,
like that.
We
is
all need to be a little slutty sometimes.
That is one of my biggest pet peeves in Second Chance is the fact that eight times out of 10, the woman is this celibate idiot where nobody could live up to him and blah, blah, blah. And he is raw dogging like every other person.
Oh, I read one the opposite the other day and I have to remember it and I'll let you know what it is. But
within,
it's the
please do.
Yeah.
But within that, one of the things that we have to kind of think about is the unfinished business. The unfinished business that comes with Second Chance. There's something that is still tying them to each other. And I think that the unfinished business, I think in order for it to be good, the unfinished business has to be established very quickly. For example, Lexi Ryan's...
Every Little Piece of Me.
Every Little Piece of Me.
You're welcome.
It's established very quickly that she's planning on getting married. She sends him
a wedding invitation.
Oh, and come to find out, they're still married from a weekend in Vegas like 10 years previous or something.
Yeah.
And so, but the what's at stake, the unfinished business, it has to be there and it needs to be established very quickly within the story, I think.
Yeah,
I would agree.
It can't be something that just comes out like Alexandria House does that with her holding. They were married young. They got divorced because she wasn't taking care of her mental health. She was diagnosed bipolar and was not taking her medication. And he's trying to pursue his professional hockey career. And they come back together because she is taking her medication and she needs help with a project. And they fall back in love. But they never really fell out of love with each other. It's just that what was at stake?
Well, that's circumstance.
You know. But the stake there in that one, the unfinished business, is her mental health and how she deals with it. And then, do you think there is power at that chance to reconnect? Is that why you think, why authors write this over and over? Is that putting out in the universe that there is chance for reconnection? Because authors write tons of second chances.
But not all of them are good. Clearly.
They aren't, but is it, why do authors keep writing it then?
Well, and I also think too, like we talked about, like this is, it's really, it's almost its own genre. There are so many different ways to do a second chance. So I think they're, because there are just so many ways to do it that, you know, if an author picks something, it's, you know, there's a good chance it might involve some kind of second chance.
And not to say it in a bad way, but it makes the backstory easy. Like, they already met. Like, there was already a connection. Like, it's not saying that, like, the backstory itself is not complicated to create, like, why they broke up and things like that. But, like, you don't have to create a connection or think of a connection. Like, you already have one. Like, they were in, like, they went to school together and they fell in love and they dated through high school. Mm-hmm. And then college broke them apart. Because Mickey Miller has, is it Mickey Miller? The substitute? I think it's him.
Yeah, that's him.
Like, they go to, like, they're at college on separate sides of this, like, the country, and, like, circumstances happen. They grow apart, and then they come back. Like, he lives in their hometown. She comes back to the hometown to teach, and they reconnect that way. Like, but it makes it easy that they have a connection already.
So, people who, this is a random question. I just thought of it. So, lots of people hate on instant connection.
Yeah.
So don't you think that they would then love second chance? Because there's obviously this deep-seated connection already established.
I would be curious to see if those people
do love second chance.
Do you love second chance?
Well, I mean,
but I think with second
chance, two of mine are like instant connections. They get married in Vegas and then they separate. I mean, so I still like the instant connection because I have like the one Leo was talking about, like they get married in Vegas and then he goes to the military, and also like Until June by Avril Rose Reynolds is the same.
Oh, I have that one on my list too. Yeah.
But yeah, but they get divorced before he, you know, they get secretly divorced. But like I don't know. I think there's something for everybody in a second chance.
But I love instant connection. But I struggle with second chances.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like instant connection, but also it's hard to make it believable.
See, I don't think
so. There are some authors that can't do it.
Well, I think there are some authors that can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we can say that for every trope. There are some authors that cannot write sports romance. Stop doing it. There are some authors that can't write friends to lovers. Please stop doing it.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, there is an author for every genre or subgenre and every trope. Like, there are some that do them exceptionally well and some that do not.
Like, Marie Johnston does Second Chance, Marriage in Crisis so well.
Yeah, she really does.
And Divorced.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Just anything we're talking about tonight, she does really well.
She
actually has each of these too, because King's Queen, their marriage in crisis, the still married romance is Make Me Shiver, because they're just estranged, and then the divorced is
an unfinished memory.
I couldn't think of which one it was.
Jesus. But so thinking about like an unfinished memory, like, we saw their relationships sort of crumble.
Fall apart,
in the other book. So there wasn't necessarily that backstory, because we already got it. But if you didn't read those other books, you weren't confused if you came into Unfinished Memory.
Yeah. So back to our point about instant connection, who Jenny's commented on the YouTube, chat. Not always. It depends on why they aren't together anymore. I hate when one leaves because of an ultimatum from an outside person. And I actually think those are the easier ones to read, like, and to enjoy, because neither one of them is at fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The miscommunication.
If it's like a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The miscommunication happened because they didn't come together to fact check, but they really couldn't. Mm-hmm. Because this outside, I think it's this. It's a similar thing with like romantic suspense, right?
Yeah, and you get a lot of those in romantic suspense. You'll get like the, you know, situation where you have like an outside force that's keeping them apart. So, you know.
Yeah.
I like those too. So.
I do too.
Okay, well, let's talk book recs that we haven't already spilled. Jenna Ellen says, sometimes second chance is used to make main characters have a connection so the author can just jump right into the story. And I think that's true. I think that that's, and I think that's some of the ease too in small town romances, that everybody in town knows each other. So the connection, you can kind of jump in. The only time it gets complicated is if it's someone new into a small town. But if they all grew up in the same small town.
But I think when you bring somebody new into the small town, it works really well because it's like it's this new like enigma of a person. It's like, what are they all about and why are they in my town?
Which is why we read them all. Okay.
Which is why we read them.
Let's talk books. Heather, what is, let's start with Married and Divorced, Second Chance.
So I have, it's by Ashley James and it's called Burning the Midnight Oil. It's a MM age gap. And they get divorced because one of them like loses his parents and he is not taking care of his mental health. And it just really, they divorce and they come back together years later. And yeah, it's really good. It's, you meet them in the very first book and sort of you get to know them. One's a veterinarian. It's really good. I really like it. There is cheating. Like one of them cheats, like not on each other, but with each other. So just an FYI.
What do you have, Amanda?
One and Only by Nora Everly. It's part of her Sweetbriar series. It's Cade and Charlotte. So they were each other's like first love, like first crush, first kiss, first like everything. And then they get married and she decides that she wants to leave the small town and have a different life. And he doesn't want to leave. So they get divorced. And then she comes back to town. There's a little bit of suspense element to that one. She has some trouble that she brings back, and so he kind of helps her out with that and they get back together. So
what do you have, Leah, if now we've taken like two, at least two?
That's okay. I have more.
He has a lot.
I read a decent amount of these, but Dungeon Master by Golden Angel. They are divorced, but they are basically exes with benefits, but they book and they both go to the same club. And she has decided that she is done. Like she is not going to keep going back to him for his stuff anymore. And
for
she's going to like, well, she's going to move on.
Someone but else
he
can spank
not
her
like that.
That's, it's a really good book.
It is very, a really
well,
great
it's
book.
Golden Angel. So, I mean, you know, you're going into like, you're going to get some stakes and some kink and all those things. But yeah, it's really well done.
There's a lot of spanking in that book.
I mean, there's a lot of spanking in all of her books. So.
And they're older. Like,
yeah.
They've been divorced for 10 years, but like you definitely know they still care about each other because they don't play with anybody else. They only play like with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So my first one is Hate the One You're With by Kendall Hale. This one, they get married at 18 because his father is sick and her grandmother has a thing in the will that says, you know, she has to get married. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they got married at 18 and then they got divorced because he became a Navy SEAL. She just didn't want to deal with it anymore. Go forward. Comes back afterwards and they reconnect because grandma is still pulling strings, like super manipulative grandma, if you like a nosy grandma, which After this week, I feel like I might be in love with some nosy grandmas. Like those octogenarians, those ladies, they're feisty.
Because they give no fucks anymore.
I want to be Gladys. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to wear the sparkles and be in my hoe era. So I have that one. Heather, what's next?
I have Power Play by Kat Mazira. It is book one in her Ellie Phantom series. So he is a goalie nearing retirement. She actually becomes the owner of the LA Phantoms. Her late husband, she inherits this. They were married super duper young. They were just very immature. They ended up getting divorced. And there's some like drama and like suspense that brings them together. And I think it's super well done. I really, really like this book a lot. It's really good.
Amanda, what do you got?
Okay, I'm stealing this one because it's like the only other one I have because I don't love these. I have Always the One for Me by Carrie Ann Ryan in her Wilder Brothers series. It's Kendall and Eli. They're divorced, and then she comes back to work at the restaurant at the winery, ranch, whatever you want to call it. And that one's really emotional. I like that one a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you really feel like, you know, there was a reason and he's worked through some stuff and, you know, I feel like they, you know, I believe
that book was so messy though. Like you can't help but believe it because in the end they were both standing. That whole series is messy for sure.
I feel like Carrie Ann was going through some stuff when she was writing.
She might have been going through some stuff. Lee, what do you have for Married and Divorced?
Broken Miles by Claire Kingsley. This is book one in the Miles series. So Zoe has stayed in they're in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
She has stayed on the Miles family like winery and has worked for them. His name is not even in my head right now, but he is like in the city in California and is a lawyer. He's the one who left. They've been divorced for a while and he comes home and she's dating someone, he's dating someone, so they have both like been with other people, so yay for Claire Kingsley for doing that. But it works really well. Like they work through their issues, they talk about the problems, like what broke them, and I definitely believe like they're HEA by the end of it. And like it's book one, so you get to see like more of their progression like throughout the series. And like definitely by the end of the series, like you're invested in the whole family, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Lots of bed burning in that book, in that series.
There's a lot of bed burning in that one. So I will do Watch Me Unravel by Julia Woof. They get married at a young age, have a baby together, and then get divorced because he is on the road, not there helping with the child. He is a rock star, a drummer. He is a whore after they are divorced, but she's moved on too and gotten engaged. And it's that rock star messiness kind of thing. Fast forward, their teenage daughter breaks her leg and he comes home off tour to help. They reconnect, and it's not parent trapped. Like they're not parent trapped, but
they're kind of parent trapped though.
They are kind of parent trapped a little bit. If only she had a twin. Okay. So next we are going to go Marriage in Crisis, and I'll start because this one kind of falls between the two, Married and Divorced, but Marriage in Crisis. And that is Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan. This is book one in her Skyland series. So they're married. They have kids. They own a business together. They've decided they cannot be happy together. And they start the divorce process. And I can't remember exactly if they have the divorce and then they have to enter into counseling, you know, for the co-parenting and all of that. And then they come back together.
I don't think the divorce is ever finalized.
See, that's why I think it's Marriage in Crisis.
But I think it is. The stipulation is they have to do the counseling before it was granted.
I will say this book is currently available in Kindle Unlimited right now because book three comes out later this spring. So if you have not read this series and if you are looking for Kennedy Ryan to emotionally break you, Before I Let Go, I highly recommend it. And it's in all the libraries. So it's emotional. But again, it's Kennedy Ryan where she does it so right that you are like, okay. I'm here. Okay, so Amanda, what do you have for Marriage in Crisis?
Marriage in Crisis, like I don't have a lot. Like I don't love it. I think really the only one I have on my list is King's Queen by Marie Johnston.
Well, Steel, you talked about Steel
Well,
earlier.
yeah, those two. Those are the only ones I had. Oh yeah, that one's on there too. But yeah, those are really my
Well,
only
Make Me
ones.
Shiver is technically Marriage in Crisis
Yeah, I
too.
would say they're still married because she leaves. Like
It's only 18 months. Like she just hasn't seen him. Like she won't divorce him.
Yeah,
Like
and that one's my favorite, actually. Like, if you go with all three of Marie Johnston's, like, Make Me Shiver is my favorite. Like, Lainey and Archer are... Yeah, like, she
Amazing.
leaves him. He's not paying attention to her. And, like, she just goes back home. And then he comes back out and he's like, well, I'm going to help you out with the ranch. And I'm just going to stay here and we're going to figure it out. And.
Perfection.
Well, and his friends are dicks,
Oh, they are.
also.
Heather, Marriage in Crisis.
I just have one, I think, and that's Steel, by Sawyer Bennett. And so it is part of my absolute favorite series ever, which is the Arizona Vengeance. I love how Steel just like his soon-to-be ex-wife is like dating, and he sees her on a date, and he like loses his crap. I
Loses his
mean, he like
shit.
loses it. Because they were super young, they had kids, and like he just really thought he needed to be like bring home the money and not like emotionally support his wife. And that's not how it went. I think it was done very well because this is a hard trope to write.
Yeah. Leah, what do you got?
Okay. So I had not loved a lot of stuff she's written recently, but Tessa Bailey, Love Her or Lose Her. This is book three in
Two.
her hot, I think it's Hot and Hammered
Two. It's book
series.
two.
Is it book two? I thought it was book
It's
three.
book
Oh no,
two.
it is book two.
It's
Sorry.
book
You're
two.
right.
I
Book
know
two.
things. It was on my
But
list. That's all.
oh, well, that's why. So this is Rosie and Dominic. They were high school sweethearts, got married young. Like he was in the service. He came home, like and she's really kind of lost herself, and the communication is non-existent anymore. And so her friends encourage her to like start going out and finding herself and doing things for herself because she basically is a housewife who lost like her identity in a sense. And he's not emotionally stunted, but he is emotionally like blind to what she's going through, and he thinks that she's happy, but she's not. And it's just one of those ones. I think that it's well done because like they do go to therapy, they do talk things out. Like, yes, by the end of the book, he still like grunts and things, but at least he has like a communication in his grunts instead of just cavemanny grunts.
Does anyone have any others that fall into this category?
I read one by Max Walker, and I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if they were married or not. So
Throw the title out. So
it's called Loosen Up. It's by Max Walker, and it's in an author collab series called Aces Wild. And so Aces is a sex store. And so like all these couples go in, and these guys, it's MM, and they like ended up at this random town, and like one of them is really stressed, and they're really having a hard time, and so they wanted to go on vacation to kind of reconnect, and it's kinky, and it's Max Walker, so
it's Max
obviously
Walker.
it's good.
Did you have any other, Leah?
I have one more. Scorned Vows by Victoria Page. It's a mafia, like arranged marriage. Like he basically says at the beginning of the book, like I'm not gonna fall in love with her, but like he doesn't tell her this. He tells everybody else, and like he woos her to make her fall in love, but then he like ruins her, and they have a baby. And then she gets in an accident. I'm spoiling this, so just putting that out there. She gets in an accident and ends up with amnesia, and so she's been missing for 2 years. And so, like, when he finds her and brings her back, like, he has, and all this time he's like in love with her pining because he realizes what a dumbass he was and how amazing she truly is. And so, like, it's the crisis because, like, she has to remember things, but then when she remembers things, she remembers all the bad shit he did. And so it does not go well for a while.
Okay.
But it was delightful.
I have one, Van 2 by Sawyer Bennett. This was one where we saw the couple in The Cold Fury and they had an HFN because Sawyer Bennett does not write epilogues. Their marriage was in crisis and due to outside sources, not cheating, and he goes back to professional hockey after leaving it. I also have The Bromance Book Club by Lissa K. Adams. I think that's a really good one to show character development, but it's lighter on the spice, so it's really about the hard work and not the sexual tension for that one. Ever After Always by Chloe Lacey. This one deals with he is trying to mask his anxiety and how it's affecting him and his worry about starting a family and stuff like that. And so it's heavy in miscommunication, but they do the work to get to the end. And then The Darkest Hour by Maya Banks is book one. She goes on a mission trip with a senator, gets kidnapped by a guerrilla army in the rainforests of South America, but then he gets a tip that she's still alive. He thinks she's dead. He gets a tip that she thinks he's alive, so he, with his help of his brothers, goes to the rainforest to rescue her, and then they have to come back.
He doesn't remember him.
But they were on the
And
verge of
also,
divorce
well,
at
she
the
had divorce
beginning.
papers drawn up, and she too, when she starts remembering things, it's all the
Bad
bad
things.
shit.
Yeah. So that's another one that works. Okay. Still Married. Amanda, what do you got for Still Married?
Again, I don't really have that many. I already talked about it. Was like Birthright by Nora Roberts is it, that's probably one of my favorite books by her. And like Callie thinks that they're divorced. She's like an archaeologist and they're working on a dig in Maryland and Jake gets brought in. He's like the premier like anthropologist and her boss wants him on this dig with her. And later it turns out, she thinks they're divorced and he never filed the papers. And he's like there with her when she finds out that she was stolen as a baby and like it's a whole mess. Like that is one of but it is that is one of my favorite Nora Roberts books. So
Heather, what do you have?
I actually don't have any, but I, in the research, I found a couple coming out, or one coming out and one I just found. One that's coming soon by Hannah Bonin Young. It's called Out
Out of
of
the
the
Woods.
Woods.
Yeah.
It looks really good. So like they're already married. They were like high school sweethearts, and she's sort of just feeling like she wants to find herself, and he kind of has to like kind of saves the day, and that frustrates her. So they go on like this hiking excursion. It just seems super cute, and I have high hopes for it. The other one is called Ruthless Love by Selena Sanders. They like have the divorce drawn up and they're ready to go, and he's like, let's have one more like kind of go roll in the hay. She's like, okay. And so that's
Okay.
on the Kindle.
Oh, I read that one. Yeah, it just came out. It's actually Laramie Briscoe's pen name. Yeah, so she, it's not bad. It, yeah. Like they
Okay.
got married young, they are going through the divorce, and I think you might like it. It's,
Okay. Okay,
Amanda, you said you don't have many of these, right? Sorry, I got
No,
mixed up.
that was really it for me. So you guys go.
Leah, what do you got,
So it's
Leah?
the still married, right?
Yeah, still married.
So Give Love a Try by Nancy Wen. They it's been 10 years. She, I believe, is looking to get married again, and they're still married, and he comes back and refuses to sign the papers, and it's basically like, we're going to be together again because we were young and dumb and I still love you. And that is a book where, spoiler, neither one of them have sex with other people while they're apart. So thank you, Nancy. Thank you.
Okay,
I have
so
more, but you can go
it wouldn't
next.
be an episode if I didn't mention Carrie Elks. So Hearts in Winter by
Stacy
Carrie
said Wayne
Elks.
Winterville.
Yes, yeah, see, she's learned. Hearts in Winter by Carrie Elks is book two. They got married young. He went off to save the world in with Doctors Without Borders. She cannot do the back and forth, like he dropping into their world and then leaving again and dropping in and out. So they filed the divorce papers. His dad was supposed to handle it a little bit, but it was never handled. So he comes back and they're like, yeah, we're still married. Your dad has papers still that never got turned in for divorce. So that one makes me happy. And then Carla Luna has one called Lost and Found. It's a free novella when you sign up for her newsletter. So go to carlaluna.com, sign up for her newsletter, and you will get Lost and Found as a
I
bonus.
have that one. I forgot about that one. I think I've probably read more of the Still Married than I know, but I just couldn't
Well,
find them.
and I think that it's common with the Wake Up Married in Vegas. They go their
Yes.
separate ways. And then, because like Hockey Wife by Kate Meter. So I debated that one.
Ooh.
Because they get married in Vegas. They both go back to Chicago, but it's 4 months later when they realize that she didn't handle the divorce or the annulment correctly, and they're still married and they're going to have a fake relationship together. There was never any
Yeah, that one's
relationship
kind of on the
as right,
fence.
because it doesn't feel like second chance because they never really had a first chance. They had a drunken excursion and got married in Vegas.
Well, and that's like the Running from the Rock Star by Jamie
Jamie
Albright.
Albright.
Like they get married in Vegas and she runs and goes back home and he chases her. So it's like, but there's no like second chance to it. Like he just chases.
Rebel Heart, Rebel at Heart by Zoe York is another one where they got married young, thought they were divorced, annulment never happened, they're still married. And then Flirting with Disaster by Nina Kamar. They've been separated for 6 years, and the female main character now needs the divorce. I've not read that one, but it was recommended on a thread that I created. A Forest Between Us by Allie Winters. Jenny comments on the YouTube for us.
So Blake by Nyssa Catherine, they are married and they have a little girl, and then he gets kidnapped and genetically altered in the Project Arma stuff. And like, so she actually moves to the small town that he moved to because she wants to have their little girl raised like with him, and they still really care for each other, but it's a strange dynamic because like of his situation. But it's really well done. If you haven't read Nyssa Catherine yet, like you need to read her. She's an excellent storyteller and her characters are very strong. And then I have Layla by Mary B. Moore. They got married and then I can't remember exactly what happened, but she ends up leaving town for 4 years. And then when she comes home after, like she goes to college, but she like wasn't supposed to go away for college. But when she comes back, she like avoids him at all costs because he hurt her a lot. Can't remember the exact details though.
Sue in the chat over on the YouTube comments, Winter of Second Chances by Eliza Boyd. It is heartwarming. So there is that. I do think that in this Still Married, one of the micro tropes that we see a lot is that's my wife,
Yes.
which I do love that micro trope. That's my
I
wife.
do too.
So
Oh, I love that. For
anyway,
sure.
so those are our take on second chances with a twist. we know not everyone's going to love those, but though the books that we recommended are ones that we think are well done, and that if you want to give this trope a try, you should check out those books.
Yes.
Okay, so guess what time it is?
It's that time.
It's that time.
For book
of the week. It is book of the week time. Amanda, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so my book of the week is actually came courtesy of a comment that Stacy made in one of our other episodes this year. I think maybe it was our end of the year, but it was The X Vows by Jessica Joyce. This was my first book by her. It is Second Chance. So it's Georgia and Eli. They dated before. They've been broken up for like 5 years, and they have to come back together to help their mutual best friend, like, put, you know, do his wedding. And it's at a winery in California. It is angsty. It is messy. Like,
this has been on my TBR forever.
I was not prepared. It is so good. I mean, I just
bump that up.
It is, and it's only from her POV, and I did not miss him.
Okay,
like, I didn't. Good. At no point.
I have a hard time with that sometimes.
I do too. And at no point did I feel like I needed a chapter from his POV, because it is so well done that you are feeling all of it. You are seeing all of it. And like, I had gotten about 80% through, 85% through. And I was like, it was late. We had gone to bed, but I wasn't sleeping. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just finish the rest of it. Right. While I'm laying in bed. It broke me. Like, I was like, the end of it. He just, like, when you find out like some little thing that he's been doing the whole time that you don't know about, and this is where his POV really like shines through. And I was like, oh my God, what have you done to me?
Okay.
Highly recommend.
I'm gonna have to read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heather, what's your book of the week?
It's called Simplicity. It's Oakley's Crew by Nicole Dykes. It was recommended in one of my Facebook groups. It's a really low angsty MM romance set in like a super small town in Kansas. One of the main characters inherits his grandmother's like house farm, and the other one is there doing like work on it, and he is like, you just need to stick around for 6 months, and they're like doing the, you know, it's a kind of little bit like a Grumpy Sunshine. It's super cute, very low angst, which is what I need right now.
Leah, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week is Twisted Rock by Jill Sanders. I have been having a heck of a time with books lately, because 2025 apparently is going with my not so great streak. But so the whole premise is there's a husband and wife who they fall in love when they're young, they get married, they live in the city, but she doesn't like it. So they buy this old manor house in like the Erie area and are fixing it up. But he works at a law firm, so he flies back and forth. Like, that is how he commutes, which is, yeah. But anyway, so he, at the beginning of the book, we find out that his plane has crashed and he has died, but there's this whole mystery like aspect to it. And usually like when those types of things happen, I figure it out. I don't know if like my headspace was not right, but I did not figure it out. And when I found out what like was going on, I was like, oh my. Oh my. But so she gets a new love interest. He is actually the one who delivers the news that her husband has died, but he befriends her because she's a hot mess, as one would be. And so he just basically goes back continually to check on her, like, because he shows up one time and she has not like bathed for weeks, like is crunchy basically. And she's like, has this moment of clarity, like, I can't believe this is what I've allowed my life to become. And yeah. So like she, a year later is like when they start their relationship. So she has grieved an appropriate amount of time, but yeah, it was really good. There are some twists and turns I wasn't expecting.
It's okay. 99 cents right now, everyone, on the Amazon. Yes.
Okay.
And it is a standalone. Like, she doesn't have any other books like connected to this one, so.
So my book of the week is Relationship, The Relationship Mechanics by Carmen Lee. And actually, Heather recommended this because she had seen it on NetGalley. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to download it. And I read it. It's sapphic. It's small town, close proximity, instant connection. Vinny is a mechanic. And I love when we get a female main character that's holding a traditionally masculine job. I think that it's always a win for me. So she's the mechanic, and then Jessica is a social media star, and she has a little bit of a crisis and is in hiding. Doesn't want to fall in love, comes to the small town to hide out, and they start off as it's an instant connection, and they start off as a fling of friends with benefits. But I'm going to go back and read her first book. This is only her second book. I'm going to go back and read the first book because this one was just, it was good. It wasn't Mae Marvel good, guys. Don't worry. I'm still only in love with them. But
And the cover is adorable.
yeah adorable. Yep,
yeah
for sure.
look
It's just a
there it
fling.
is.
Yeah. And it, like, I feel like that's a trope episode we probably should do too, like a microtrope. It's just a fling.
Oh, the fling.
Yeah,
Oh,
just
we
do
all
the
know
fling.
it's not
You know
just a
what? I
fling.
don't have a shelf for that, Becky. It is like my
Okay. You
favorite.
should start making
We'll put
one.
it down on
You
the
have until
line.
like April. That could be an April
You know it
episode.
doesn't matter.
She's now like gonna be really mad at me if she has to go through and try to figure
I'm
out.
surprised you don't have a shelf for that, though.
Well, but I think, don't you think that it would start with instant connection? So you have an instant
Yeah, it
connection
might be. I
shelf
might be able to find it
or
from other
friends with
tropes.
benefit? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like friends with benefits.
Okay.
Heather, what were you gonna say before we?
I just love like Friends with Benefits, but I'm also just going to tell you that Carmen Lee, book three of this series, is called The Secret Crush Book Club. And it's a small town. They're in a book club together. You guys, I cannot, it's in August. And the cover, oh.
Well, okay, the first one is something like The Lucky Strike. They're on a bowling team together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the cover again. 10 out of 10 stars, you
Yeah,
guys.
these are
They
covers I have to
are
buy.
so cute.
I'm looking them up, so don't you
Yeah.
worry.
They're so cute,
Oh,
but
that is really cute.
the story was good. It was solid, and there was spice, and there was chemistry. And I
Look at that.
know that that's something, right? 7-10 split. It's so fun. You know, that's
I like the
something that
titles a lot too.
sapphic romances sometimes get dinged for. And so I kind of, in 2025, it started this last year, but in 2025, I'm going to find more with better chemistry. That is my goal. And so far, you know, Mae Marvel and Courtney Kay, and now I've got Carmen Lee writing some over-the-top sapphic chemistry. So that's what I got for my book of the week. Okay, and now that we've looked at all the book covers and everybody's bought paperbacks
I'm
tonight,
off track again.
I'm gonna say I've lost focus. I'm just doing my
are you
searching now.
shopping now?
She's shopping.
Yeah, Leah's shopping right now.
So this has nothing to do with anything, but so we played a new game tonight, and my girl chat was telling me the directions, and like 3 minutes into it, just stopped paying attention. She gets almost to the end. I was like, yeah, I have no idea what you just said. I'm sorry.
Drink
Was like,
more
your voice
coffee.
was so th soothing, but I lost attention and I was distracted. You have to start again.
Okay, Patreon update. Thank you to Swag Pack sponsoring author Rebecca Gallo for sponsoring January's packs. Those should have started to hit mailboxes. They had December and January in them. The next mailing will go out in March. February Book Club is going to be our Galentine's Day celebration this year. You can find details on our website. We're going to make a craft, and Nikki promises to teach us how to make the perfect espresso martini, is what she said. So, but and other
I believe
drinks.
it.
We're going to try to make blackberry smashes, bourbon smashes too.
Are we getting a shopping list?
There will be this week shopping list, and we will have a cocktail and a mocktail version. She will help us make both. And then make sure you are back here Wednesday for our discussion of Happily After All by Maisie Yates, and all I have to say is I get Gladys. I love Gladys. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Buzzing About Romance. For a complete list of the books we discussed, be sure to visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media to stay up to date and connect with our amazing community of romance enthusiasts. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share it with your friends. Your support means the world to us and helps us bring you more fun and exciting content each and every week. Programming note, and we'll announce it next week too, we are taking Super Bowl Sunday off, so there'll be more announcements about that, so forgot to add that in. Until next time, everybody,
happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.